Haley Honeywell knows what she wants in a stock dog puppy, and they're not around every corner. She's looking for something that is somewhere in between the usual cowdog and sheepdog border collie lines. Her advice on puppy selection in this part two of our interview can help you turn the odds in your favor when selecting a pup for yourself. Welcome to Farm Dog. This is Farm Dog, the podcast about the working dogs of farming, ranching, homesteading, and rural living. Farm Dog is presented by Goats on the Go, a national network of independent business owners who provide sustainable weed and brush control for their customers using goats. Want to put goats to work on your vegetation problem? Interested in launching your own goat grazing business? The place to start is goatsonthego.com. That's really helpful. Are there any other areas where you see a distinct split between the cowdog lines and more of the sheepdog lines? Any other characteristics, like let's say grip, for example, aggressiveness?
Yes, the cattle dogs, bred ones, they really put a lot of emphasis on bite and how hard they bite. And that is true. Like if you're working cattle and your dog either doesn't bite or won't bite hard, the cattle don't respect them at all. So you do need a dog that bites hard enough where the cow doesn't want to go up to that dog again. Particularly like yearlings or younger cattle, they would love to start chasing a dog around. Like that's entertainment for them. Pretty soon you got like 60 or 80 head. They're ripping around in the field and bucking and having a great time and chasing your dog all over the place. And if you're, you know, if you take a dog into that situation and it bites three or four of them really hard on the nose, that's telling all the rest of those cattle, we don't want to mess with this dog. And you can easily handle that number with a good dog, just one. But if you have one that either doesn't bite or doesn't bite hard, it can get out of hand pretty quickly because the cattle just kind of think it's a game. Mm-hmm. So that is one area where you do need a hard biting dog for cattle. But at the same time, a lot of those cattle dogs are really bite, and a lot of people want that, and that's fine. But for me personally, I don't like those kind of grab a hold and hang on the face and be wiped off and all that kind of stuff. I mean, most of my dogs I don't use on pairs a whole lot. And so like gathering off the range and working yearlings and occasional pairs, but not a whole lot. My dogs are totally sufficient for that. And I wouldn't even want one of those dogs that, you know, as they say, rips the face off a cow.
Do you do your own breeding? Do you have a line that you're nurturing, or do you mostly bring in dogs from other places?
In the last like 6 or 7 years, I've really been focusing on breeding my own dogs because it was getting increasingly difficult for me to be able to buy the young dogs, puppies that I wanted that would suit my needs. Because like I said, it's not totally unusual, the kind of dog I want, but it's not common either. And so I was having increasing difficulty in finding the type of dogs that I needed for my operation. And so that's why the last few years I've been focusing more on breeding those dogs. And I used to just kind of try to squeak by as long as I could without raising dogs, because that's a big additional hassle. And I really don't enjoy trying to sell puppies, and I can't keep the whole litter for myself. You know, I generally will keep 2 to 3 to raise up for myself. And then, you know, that leaves 6 or at least to sell, which I really don't enjoy doing, but kind of out of necessity, I've had to start raising some puppies.
Mm-hmm. And is the necessity just availability, the right kind of dog from the right breeding at the right time? Or is it, do you also see some benefit in observing those pups right from the very beginning that you can't get by just watching videos of dogs that have, yearling dogs from overseas, for example.
It's kind of both. It started with, I just couldn't consistently find the strong type of dogs that I wanted that still had, trainability and natural talent, but also very strong and forward and could handle all the situations that I put them in. I was having trouble finding that. And so I was kind of trying to put together a small group of those dogs that I've really tried and used myself as and to use as breeding stock. And what I have found out in having litters is that you get a much better sense of those puppies raising them yourself than, like you said, than you could see on a video or pictures or whatever. I mean, picking puppies and stuff like that's kind of a crapshoot. But when you raise them yourself, you can sure pick the one you like.
Right. And I also wonder if it's not just about picking a puppy that you think is going to meet your needs, or at least gives you the best odds that it meets your needs, but also is there some benefit to the relative comparisons of the puppies in the litter that you don't get otherwise? What do you learn from just observing the pups in a litter that may be valuable in helping you select one to keep?
Well, I try to look for a puppy that's kind of middle of the road, like not way dominant, not bullying the other puppies, but not shy either. And I really like the kind of personality that kind of wants to be people oriented, wants to partner up with you. I find those kind a lot nicer to work with. They want to work with you, and that's a big chunk of if you're going to be spending a lot of time with a dog and a lot of training, if you have one that wants to partner with you and wants to be with you and do stuff with you and work for you, that's just so different than one that's kind of as you'd call a cold fish, kind of indifferent to the situation or what you're doing or whatever. And I mean, I've raised tons and tons of dogs, and in the long run, those ones that want to partner with you, they always at the end are kind of the better dog, in my opinion.
How much of that is nature versus nurture? Do you, by observing puppies in a litter from the moment they're born, can you identify ones that are like, that one is that cold fish? You can just see it right from the beginning, versus the right amount of socialization and doing the right kinds of early training and conditioning with a puppy. Can you turn that cold fish into one that wants to work with you?
That's a good question. I think that's the million-dollar question. But my personal experience is that I've raised a lot of litter mates from the same litter, and I've raised them all the same and socialized all of them and hauled them around with me to dog trials and all that stuff. And you can make one of those better, but it's never quite the same as one of those ones that just has that personableness to it. And I heard a very good trainer that I respect a lot. He said, you can change what they do, but you can't change who they are. And I was like, that is super true.
Right. That's great advice. So for our audience who, someday we've got audience members out there right now who might be in the process of locking down a puppy from a litter and they're about to go pick one out. What sorts of things do you look for that communicate that willingness and desire to cooperate with you and be engaged with you? When you show up to look at a litter of puppies and you've got to pick one in 15, 20 minutes, like you said, it's really a crapshoot. But how can you narrow the odds? What signs are you looking for?
One thing I really look for in a dog, just as a little puppy, as a young dog, in stock work, its initial works with stock, I'm looking for a dog that doesn't show avoidance characteristics. So you might go look at a litter of puppies, and I'm going to watch them, and I might make some noises and kind of do some little stuff. And I'm looking for any puppies that show signs of trying to avoid a situation. Avoid, maybe avoid being picked up, or doesn't like a stranger, or just some little things like little subtleties like that. And it's the same thing that I'm looking for with young dogs on stock. The first few times I put them on stock, or the first times they're kind of in a tighter situation with stock, I'm searching out those avoidance behaviors, and I'm evaluating those, because a dog that shows a lot of avoidance behaviors, that's one of the harder things to overcome with training. And if you can have a pup that just doesn't have too many of those, I mean, every single dog is going to avoid something, just like every person does too. But as kind of a whole, that's what I'm looking for.
Okay. Yeah, that's really helpful. There seems to be a growing market. I'm a marketer, so I think in terms of markets, right? There seems to be this growing market of small farms, homesteads, little acreages, hobby farms. And I think that I haven't dived deeply into the numbers, but my perception is that participation in trials has increased. Its representation from the small farm kind of homesteader world has increased over time. If I have just, I don't know, 20 head of ewes or six cows, cow calf pair, something like that on my little hobby farm, and I want to get a border collie to help me with the work I need to do, should I be seeking out someone like you to get a puppy from? We've been talking about border collies this whole time, but we talk as about them as if there's these multiple different breeds and there's different lines for this and different lines for this. Is your line going to be useful for me on my small farm, or should I be looking elsewhere?
Well, the main thing that I tell people kind of starting off with dogs, with border collies, or first adding them to your operation, is I would try real hard to find a trained dog, possibly an older one that is slowing down from hard work, or maybe slowing down from trialing, or maybe isn't talented enough for the big trials, but they're a perfectly good using dog for a smaller operation, and to go that route first, and then hook up with a good trainer that can teach you how to work that dog and learn how to use a dog, how to work it. It's going to jump right in and start helping you immediately on your operation. And then after having that dog a couple of years, then you're going to be way more set up to go buy a puppy. And you know how to work a dog. You know what to expect from a dog. You probably have a relationship with a trainer already. And for me, that's what I always recommend people starting out. Like, get something trained, or at least well started. Doesn't have to be an absolute world beater, doesn't have to be super expensive, but a good, solid, honest dog that is just going to be like a huge leg up for you to get started. And then once you've had that, then you're going to do way better with a puppy.
A quick break just to remind you that we would really appreciate it if you would go to farmdogpodcast.com, use the email form that's there to send us a message. Tell us about some topics you'd like to hear us cover on the podcast, or perhaps some people you'd love to hear us interview. We really appreciate your input. Feel free to just drop us a comment or a question as well. We read every email. We don't necessarily reply to everyone, but we do read the messages you send us. While you're there at farmdogpodcast.com, click the shop button. And if you'd like to support us, buy some branded merchandise, either from our sponsor, Goats on the Go, or scroll down a little bit further and you will find Farm Dog branded merchandise as well. That would be much appreciated. Also, on the podcast app that you use, in particular, if it is Apple Podcasts or Spotify, do us a favor and leave us a review or a rating. That would really help introduce the podcast to more audience members in the future, and we would really appreciate your input. Thanks so much. That's good advice on the topic of seeking out help. I caught a video of yours on YouTube that you did for dogtrainingonline.com, which is its own company, but it appears to me at least that you were engaged by them to do some videos. I wonder if you could just tell me a little bit about what Dog Training Online is and how you got connected with them and how that relationship has developed.
I think it's a really great thing they're doing. There's a real shortage of good training videos that are readily available to kind of the general public, because there's a lot of people that could really benefit from having some kind of structured help or structured exercises. There's a couple of other training sites, but the thing that Dog Training Online is super good at is it focuses a lot on cattle and sheepdog kind of stuff. Like, they've gone over to the UK and videoed and interviewed one of the top handlers over there, and they've talked to a whole bunch of cattle dog people. They interviewed and videoed me. Like, they have a huge variety of content on there, which I think is super. You know, it really is helpful to pretty much all audiences. You know, you can be coming from anywhere and you can find helpful information on there. And it's like a monthly fee to stay joined up, and then you have access to all those different videos. And Jeff Christensen, he contacted me last year via Facebook from a recommendation, and I talked to him and he explained what they were doing and you know, the whole thing, and I thought it sounded really good. And he asked if they could fly out video me, and I said sure. And I came up with some topics that I thought would be helpful. You know, mostly my stuff focused on sheepdogs and sheepdog trialing, but it was pretty general purpose too. And Jeff and his wife, Denise, they drove out and they filmed me for a few days and did some interviews and got a whole bunch of stuff. And they're super, super nice people. I really had a good time doing that, and I think it all turned out well.
Excellent. You know, you're absolutely right. There, in fact, an audience member just reached out to me recently to ask, you know, is there a good kind of consolidated resource for training videos or some other resources? And this was before I stumbled across Dog Training Online. And, you know, I had a couple of books I could recommend, but that's about it. And I had the same trouble when I started looking into getting a stock dog. Is I swear some of the video resources you still had to buy on VHS tape. I mean,
yes,
it was crazy how little there was out there. And you can only go so far with little snippets on YouTube. So I think that it's really excellent that there's a good training series out there. I've gotten to the point, and I'm sure others share the opinion, I'd almost rather just pay us a solid subscription fee for good content than be the product myself by, you know, getting advertising thrown at me a lot, or catching it on social media, little snippets, and you're not really sure what the source is and if it's reliable. So I'm really encouraged by that. That's good to hear, and I'm glad you've had a good experience with it. Before we go, the person who recommended that you would make a good guest on this podcast mentioned that you have you also use Livestock Guardian Dogs, which is a frequent topic on the podcast. And so if I let you go without asking about those, I'd be missing something. So do me a favor and tell us about your Livestock Guardian Dogs, how they came to be on your place, what need you had for them, and how they've worked out for you.
Yeah, I'm not a super experienced livestock guardian dog person. I'm kind of learning as I go. I haven't had them super long, but I have a few good people I can ask advice from that's really helpful. And I've always I've always been able to manage my sheep okay with electric fence, night panning them at night, doing stuff like that. You can work on coyotes a little bit and eliminate some, that's the main problem. But a few years ago, mountain lions started coming in, and they come right into the night pen. They pop over the electric fence like it's not there. And after losing multiple sheep, often, six or eight in one night, I decided, okay, I'm going to have to get serious and get a guard dog, because I kind of thought about a guard dog a lot, but to be honest, I just didn't want the kind of the hassle of them, and I didn't know how complicated they would be with my training setup, because like I have a lot of people that come in for lessons, and it's, I have new dogs a lot in for training, and then people coming for lessons with new dogs, and I was worried that that was going to be quite a management headache. So that's why I put off getting them for a long time. But it finally boiled down to I had to do something because it wasn't working with the mountain lions. And a good friend of mine brought me a started guard dog that was an Akbash, and she did a really good job for me. I didn't have any more lion problems, and that was just one dog. But the trouble I had with her is that she came, the operation that she was raised with had big bands of fine wool sheep. And in our valley, those fine wool bands come through in the winter and in the spring. And honestly, that dog could smell those bands of sheep like 5 miles away, and she was gone.
Oh no.
And then once she got to those big bands, she was extremely difficult to catch. So like if they weren't around at all, she was good sticking around with my sheep. But it was really a problem. Like so she would, and I would try to watch. Like I would watch in the valley for those sheep coming, and I'd have to keep her tied up like the whole time they were there, which wasn't helping my sheep operation.
Right.
But finally she left and went to a band. It was like, gosh, it was about 4 miles away, 5 miles away. I didn't even know they were there yet. And then I couldn't catch her. And I called the owner of the sheep and I said, "Would you like another guard dog?" And he's like, "We can use her." And I said, "Okay, she's yours. This is too frustrating." So then I decided by that point that I really needed the next ones I got, I needed to raise on my place with my sheep so that they were really anchored into my situation. And I did a little research and I talked to a lot of people, and the Central Asian Shepherd was recommended to me as a breed that would really stay with their sheep. Like from my understanding, certain breeds they're meant more to stay right with the sheep. Certain other breeds are meant more for kind of the perimeter. Like they'll kind of check out your perimeter, stay on the outskirts to be kind of searching for coyotes or whatever predators. And in my situation, I wanted the dogs right with the sheep. I didn't want them roaming off. I didn't want them out on the road, that kind of thing. So I bought a Central Asian Shepherd puppy. She was like 4 months old from a lady in Georgia, because they're kind of hard to find. And I was super happy with that one. She was very good, stayed right with her sheep really well. As many kind of youngish guardian dogs, she kind of wanted to hassle the sheep a little bit when she was a certain age, but we worked on that a little bit, and she's kind of grown out of it, and she's been very good. So I got another one from the same person, and she's like 10 or 11 months now, and she's been very good also. And then I have a third one that somebody gave me that was a like a Marama Pyrenees something or other cross, and all three of those dogs have worked really well for me, and I've seen them do some amazing things. Like the one night I gathered in the sheep and it was almost dark, and I was in a rush and I didn't count the sheep in through the gate. And about 5 minutes later, one of those Central Asian shepherds, she appeared and she had run in a single sheep that had stayed out in the brush. Had really cool stuff. But another time I saw one, it was the sheep had separated into two groups. One were out in the pasture and the others were up in the brush. And it was actually the younger of the two Central Asian shepherds. She was hassling those sheep out in the field. And I was like, oh, what's that dog up to? And I was watching her. And she was hassling them. And then she got them grouped up and moving towards the other sheep. And then she just trotted along with them. And she made sure they all grouped up and stayed together. It was really fun to watch that kind of instinctual stuff like that, just in a, completely different breed than the border collie, but you can still see the instincts that they were bred for coming out in them. So I've been very happy with them. I try to not handle them much because I want them good and bonded to the sheep, but I try to, I keep them handleable so that I can get them into the vet if I need to or whatever. But I've had no more lion problems since I've had these dogs. And actually, one time there was a deer kill that was about 100 yards north of my arena. And I called the local trapper and he came out and set some game cams because he was going to train his dogs on that cat. He's like, boy, your dogs are working. Because those dogs, they would not let that lion come back in. And like all hours of the night, they'd have those dogs were kind of keeping perimeter on that kill. And that lion never could come back and get its kill. So I know
Fantastic.
they work.
Okay. So the final assessment is they're worth the hassle.
Oh yes. Yeah, and actually, like what I thought would potentially be the biggest problem with like new people and new dogs, they're 100% trustworthy on that as long as I'm there. Like they're very smart. They know that it, like they can tell the difference between like a working dog and then something harassing the sheep. And if it's a border collie or anybody's out there working with them, they just ignore them, completely ignore them.
That's fantastic. So it occurs to me that you are a high-level trainer and trialer in the kind of trials that require that the stock dogs respond to lots of detailed training and lots of direction. And so therefore that's what you train on. And now you add these guardian dogs and it's kind of the opposite. I kind of think of it as like you work with these dogs. You don't really train these dogs in the same way that you would any companion dog. And with a border collie in a trial needs that command has to come, it has to happen now, it has to, a split second might be the difference between winning or losing. So how have you handled the transition to from border collies to working with these dogs?
Yeah, that's a very good and accurate observation. Yeah, it's been interesting. I tried to several good people that are very experienced with the livestock guard dogs, they've told me like, don't tame them down. Don't let them go to your house. Don't let them hang around your other dogs. And so I try to really be religious about that. Like if they want to follow me with the other dogs, I'll throw a stick at them and like I make them go back. And other than that, I don't, that's probably the only like quote unquote training I do with them is like they're not allowed around the house. They're not allowed to follow me with the other dogs unless they're sheep with us. I try and not let any other people touch them or handle them much. They're inclined to go up and want to pet them, which I don't let them do very much because I don't want to tame them down too much. But that's super true. It's like border collies are very hands-on, and these dogs are very hands-off.
I have found that there's actually some relief in that. It's kind of nice to be able to add a significant number of dogs to your farm, but they need some direction, they need some conditioning, but for the most part, they're low maintenance because they just live with the sheep, they just live with the goats. They don't require. It's kind of nice to be able to let it go. It's almost like your youngest child. you're so detail oriented through all your kids, and then that young one, you're like, eh, there he's okay. That's fantastic, Haley. Haley, I really appreciate your time. And I know that you don't keep a big social media presence or anything, but you do have a Facebook page, and I wonder if you might have anything else that you'd like to promote, either a trial or a training event or a clinic or something else you'd like to tell our audience about.
Not too much. Right now, coming up soon, we're having Sergio Perello come over. He's a famous handler from Spain. He's won the English National twice and a whole bunch of big prestigious trials in the UK and abroad. And we're having him over for a clinic and lessons and to judge a trial soon. So we're really looking forward to that. And we had him over last year also, and everybody was extremely impressed with him, and everybody that came to the clinic last time, they all wanted in the clinic this time, which was a little bit awkward because he wanted a couple less people.
I see.
And I could have filled two clinics. But that's what's happening right now. It's really fun to have somebody come over and give lessons and give the clinic. And I'm always kind of on the outskirts, trading out sheep and catching sheep and stuff, but I'm always around close enough I can hear what's going on and enjoy all the stuff they're talking about and all the things he's teaching and all that. I'll take a couple of lessons from him and we'll look at a whole bunch of young dogs. That's always super fun.
Very
So
nice.
we're looking forward to that coming up.
So is that clinic booked solid already?
Yeah, I have like twice as many people as he was.
Okay. All right. Well, I would love to be able to say to the farm dog audience, sign up for that. Go out into Nevada and check that out. But
Well, there's unlimited audit auditing spots available.
okay. So how might someone find out about that?
You can message me directly on Facebook Messenger. That's a good way, an easy way to reach me.
Okay.
And yeah, if you want to come audit, I think often auditing a clinic, you can get just as much as participating, like, and sometimes even more because you're not like thinking about your own dog or nervous about your turn coming up or whatever. And I have a good sound system, so the people that are back in the audience, they can hear what's going on out during the work and when he comes back. So that makes it a little more interesting for the audience.
Very exciting. So when is that, Haley?
The clinic is May 1st and 2nd, and the trial is April 27th and 28th.
Excellent. Haley, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure to talk with you today.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed this very much.
You bet. Take care.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks for listening to Farm Dog. If you enjoyed this episode or any of the other episodes, please subscribe, leave us a positive review, and tell someone about it. Thanks.